This is the Europe Report with special correspondent Kanaan Lipschitz.
Good afternoon, Kanaan. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm good. I'm sorry for the noise in the background. You're catching me in Birmingham.
Oh, okay. Good. That's an interesting place to be. What are you doing there? Here. Are you in Birmingham, Alabama, or Birmingham, UK?
I wish I were in Alabama. No, it's very cold here. I'm in the UK. And I'm here for a very interesting story about a JSOC. That's a Jewish student society that is one of the UK's largest, about 1,500 members, much larger than the Jewish community of Birmingham. And they're revitalizing Jewish life here. And that's very important because on many campuses in the UK and throughout the world, it's becoming increasingly difficult to be Jewish, certainly if you take a position on Israel. But in Birmingham, I know that in South Africa, that's no exception.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk about this report, this report on anti-Semitism in Europe? You know, when I speak to people, I don't know why anybody's surprised. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why anybody's surprised. And does make me sound very jaded?
I actually share your dismay at this surprise that is being expressed about the report. The Fundamental Rights Agency of the European Union came out with a survey, the largest survey among Jews in the world on anti-Semitism, 16,395 respondents in 12 EU countries that between them hold about 95% of European Jewry. So a really, really large sample. And in that survey, one in three said they're thinking about emigrating, have thought about it in the past 5 years. One in three said that they fear coming to shul, other Jewish events, wearing even a Star of David pendant for their safety. And the reaction to this was shock and horror by EU officials and Jewish community officials and Jewish organizations, as though no one expected this. And actually, one rabbi, Menachem Margolin in Brussels, said that the only shocking thing about this report is that it managed to shock anyone, because anyone on the ground in Europe, is feeling this reality. And that comes back to the campus issue. In a reality where young people can't express Jewish affiliation today, they grow up in communities that are guarded, heavily guarded by machine gun toting army soldiers, sometimes special services. Myself, I drop the kids off every day at a street that is cordoned off and is guarded by special forces in Amsterdam, where I live. So it's really part of our reality. But I would not be too jaded, too cynical about this report, because it does shine a light and on the problem. And Kathy, I'd like to focus on some of the positive developments that we've seen. Look, during press conference.
One sec. Now, before we go on to the positive, can I just ask you something? Does the report distinguish between old Europe and new Europe? The difference being that over the past 4 or 5 years, Europe has inherited, has welcomed, especially a country like Germany, has welcomed a number of migrants and people who are seeking refuge from places like Syria. Those people come with their own cultural identity. Those people come with their own worldview. And does the report say, well, you know what, old Europe have dealt with their anti-Semitism, or does it kind of just paint everybody with the same tar brush?
It doesn't. The report doesn't really go into the identity of the perpetrators, and it really only reflects the attitudes of Jews. But the reality is that most Jews in the EU live in Western Europe, so in the countries that have welcomed this new population that come from, well, intrinsically, let's not be politically correct, intrinsically anti-Semitic societies.
Right.
They bring this anti-Semitism to Europe, and instead of it being watered down, what it does is it releases the genie of anti-Semitism in the old anti-Semitism in Europe, because it's being injected into the mainstream. It's being injected in rap songs, and suddenly people who would have been uncomfortable expressing anti-Semitic sentiments are feeling emboldened. I'm talking about classical European anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And so the report does reflect that, but it does, in no place does it say that this is the cause, because it's simply not one of the questions that was put to the Jewish respondents.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Kanaan, give us some of the good things that came out of the report before we let you go.
Well, during the presentation, the a high-level EU commissioner who presented the data said that the words anti-Zionism together with anti-Semitism. Now, it may not look like such a big step to us, because it's so self-evident that expressions of anti-Zionism are rooted in anti-Semitism, but it's actually a huge leap for an EU commissioner of her status to say so at a press conference. And from what I've heard, it's the first time. Last year, President Macron in France said that anti-Semitism has morphed into anti-Zionism. So we're seeing a belated, reluctant acceptance of reality in the EU. And with surveys like this that show the general population that what they thought they had left behind is only now rearing its ugly head once more, we're seeing more openness to this reality. Keep in mind that in the 2000s, the early 2000s, French officials simply fudged data, simply dismissed the resurgence of anti-Semitism, because they just couldn't reconcile that a minority group would turn against another. And so I hope and I think that with these reports that were tempted to brush off and tell us something that's another, something we don't know, I think we're moving closer to that goal.
Kanaan, thank you very, very much for the time. Thank you for your expertise, for your opinion, politically correct or otherwise, that you share with us every week. I certainly always look forward to speaking to you. And we look forward to chatting next week.
Stay safe. Same here. Thanks, Kathy.
Happy travels.